Today, we will read Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 37. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, help us to see and understand who you are. Teach us, Lord, more about you and how we are to live based on what we learn today. Help us to listen, help us to be obedient, and do what you tell us to do. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 37. Once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. People will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Do not go running off after them, for the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also it will be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the housetop with possessions inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken, and the other left." "Where, Lord?" they asked. He replied, "Where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather." All right. In today's reading, Jesus talks with the Pharisees and his disciples about the kingdom of God, about the coming of the Son of Man, or the Messiah, or Jesus himself. And so, let's look at what he says. First, he's talking with the Pharisees, and they're asking about the kingdom of God, and when it would come, what signs they would see. And Jesus says, no, you don't quite get it. And he says that it's not something that can be observed, that people won't be saying, "Here it is," or "There it is," that it's not something that they can see as far as, "Oh, here comes a king who is going to be coming to our rescue." It's not a political, earthly thing. Instead, he says, the kingdom of God is in your midst. You could also say the kingdom of God is within you, or it surrounds you. What exactly is the kingdom of God? Well, I would say the kingdom of God is it's here. It is also just in some ways yet to come. The kingdom of God is here. It is within us. It is God reigning and ruling over us as our king, and we are serving him. It is a spiritual kingdom where we are submitting to him, we are obeying him, and following him, and putting him as the king of our hearts and lives. He is the most important. He is the sovereign one. Now, in my culture, we don't have a king. But if we did, whatever he said goes. He is the one that makes the decisions and must be obeyed. And that is who God is. God is on the throne of our lives. And we are to surrender, submit, and follow what he wants. Our lives are to be in service of the king. Our lives are to be lived obeying him, following him, and carrying out his purposes. It's not something to be watched for, but instead something that we are already a part of as followers of Jesus, and we are to be surrendering our hearts to him and going about his work and his service. At the same time, it is something yet to come, that right now, the earth is not all surrendered to him. And there will be a time in the future when Jesus comes back, and there is a final great battle between Jesus and his followers, and Satan and his followers. And there will be a great battle, but God will win, and he will set up his kingdom on earth, where it will be a political kingdom. But this is yet to come. God is the king of heaven, and we have not experienced that yet, but it's coming. Next, Jesus talks with his disciples. Now, his disciples are asking something different, or he talks with them about something different. He's not just talking about the kingdom. He's talking about the Son of Man. Let's stop and go back. Who is that? Well, this was a title given to the Messiah, the promised one, the one who would come. Back in the Old Testament, God had promised that Jesus would come. And one of his titles was the Son of Man. And so Jesus is telling them about the Son of Man. Now, is this talking about Jesus coming at this time? No. The Bible teaches that there is a second coming of Jesus that has not yet occurred. There is a second coming. He came once to live and die. He will come again to rule. And so he is still yet to come. And so I believe that is what Jesus is talking about here. Now, he tells them, people will say, there he is or here he is. Don't go running after them. Don't go running out after false Jesuses. That when he comes, it's going to be obvious. It's going to be like a huge flash of lightning that lights up the sky that you can't miss. And so he warns them that he's going to come. Now, it's going to be at a time when you're not ready for, and that's when he gets into the end of the chapter. In verse 26. And he gives the example of his coming will be like the great flood in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, there is the story of Noah. And God had a relationship with Noah. And God shared with Noah his plans. You see, all around Noah, the people were wicked and far from God. And so God said, I'm going to destroy all of it, except for Noah. Noah and his family, he kept safe. And so God came to Noah and told Noah that he was going to protect him and save him and his family. And so God had Noah build the ark, the boat, and God brought animals onto the ark, onto the boat, and God saved Noah, the animals, and then he sent a huge flood, a flood that destroyed everything. Now, what Jesus is talking about is that up until the day when Noah entered the ark and it started to rain and the water came, people were going about their normal lives. They were doing what they always did. They were eating, drinking, marrying, being given in marriage. They were going about their lives as if nothing bad was getting ready to happen. They didn't know. And I think that same thing applies to our lives and the coming of God, the coming of Jesus in the future. We will be going about our lives not knowing that this is the day when he's coming back. He gives the same example of, in the Old Testament, there's a story of Sodom and Gomorrah, where it was a wicked city, and there was a man named Lot who lived in there. Well, God sent angels to warn Lot that he was getting ready to destroy this city. And so Lot and his wife and two daughters were able to escape. Now, as he was escaping, his wife looked back, and she ended up dying. But God destroyed the cities with fire. He sent fire from heaven and utterly destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But until that time, people were going about their lives. Now, Jesus is coming back. But we don't know when. We don't know if it will be today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 10 years from now, 100 years from now, even 1,000 years from now. Unfortunately, we don't know. Now, every generation often thinks, oh, this is the time he's going to come back. As I look at the things going on in the world around us, I'll be honest and say I think he will come back sometime soon. I believe he will come back sometime during my natural lifetime. Now, I could be wrong, but it could be any time. The thing is, we're not going to know what day it is. We will be going about our lives. And what will happen? He'll come back. Now, there are different interpretations as to exactly what's going to happen when Jesus returns. And one of them is that the church, the followers of Jesus, will be raptured or caught up. This comes from various places in the New Testament, and we'll talk about it again when we get to some of those other passages. But we see the idea here that when Jesus comes back, people will leave. If we look at verses 34 and 35, it says, I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed, one will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together, one will be taken, and the other left. The idea that many people have, and this is what I believe, is that at some point, Jesus will come back and will gather and collect all those who follow him and take them to heaven. But we don't know when that will be. And we won't really have time to prepare for it. It's not going to be that we get an announcement, okay, you're coming to heaven, you have 1 or 2 hours to get ready. No, it happens like that two people are in one bed, one a follower of Jesus, one not a follower, and the follower is taken. Two women are working together, and one of them is a follower of Jesus, the other is not. The one who follows Jesus will be taken to heaven. And there is more that we will learn later. But it seems the Bible teaches, and this is how I read it and interpret it and understand it, and this is what I believe, that at some point Jesus will come, will take the believers and Christians and followers of Jesus to heaven, and then bad things will really begin to happen. Satan will have authority over this earth for a short period of time. But, and as bad things happen, the world will get worse and worse, and it will be a very bad place. But Jesus will eventually come back again, this time with an army, and he will defeat and conquer and overthrow Satan and his followers. And Jesus will win. Now, we don't know when that's going to happen. So what does this mean? All right, here is what I take from today's reading. First, the kingdom of God is here. We are to live our lives with God as our King, constantly surrendering to God, following God, obeying God, and giving ourselves to God, doing what he asks us to do as if he is our King, because he is. We should be living our lives going about his business, putting him first, and doing the work of his kingdom. Second, we should be living every day as if this could be the day when Jesus comes back. Now, whether it is living as if it's the day when Jesus comes back, or living as if it's the day when I die, it's all the same. Recently, some friends of ours, a teenage boy was killed in a car accident. He was 18. And we are friends with another boy who was in the car with him. And there were 4 boys. One of them died. But he was 18 years old. He was leaving a birthday party. They were going about their lives, and he had no idea that that was his last day. And it reminds me that none of us know what is going to happen. None of us know when Jesus will come back, or when we might die in an accident. We don't know, and so I need to live every day ready to meet Jesus, whether it is in his return or through an unexpected death. Every day could be my last. So what does that mean? Well, first, I need to obey God. If I have sinned, I need to leave that sin behind and follow God. I don't want to meet God while I am in a period of sin. I don't want Jesus to come back and catch me in sin. But also, I should obey and follow God. I don't want there to be something that I've said, oh, I will do that later. I will follow God later. I'll obey God later. I don't want to put that off because I am not guaranteed any time. I am not guaranteed tomorrow. So if God tells me to do something, I need to do it now. I need to obey God now, follow God now, share God with my neighbor now, because this may be my last chance. I could die today, or he could die today. And so I need to live every day as if this could be my last, and follow God as my king so that I am ready for him. Lord, help us live today, ready for you, watching for you, and waiting for your return. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.